the tabletop takeaway.
Game mechanics on display.
Three designers share the stage.
Pick a genre and we'll play
the tabletop takeaway.
Welcome back to the Tabletop Takeaway. I'm Ananda Gunaratna.
I'm Charlie McCarron.
And I'm Trevor Muller-Hagel.
And today is, of course, our bonus episode on engine-building games.
Ooh.
Yeah, so we covered three engine builders. We did Wormspan, Studies in Sorcery, and Sprocket Forge.
And Ananda's game.
Shameless
yes,
plug.
Yes. My game. Yes. Yeah.
But I think the fans will appreciate hearing the behind the scenes from Ananda on like his design process. So yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's so many engine builder games out there. One thing we were talking about in between is like I guess I was thinking about what is the difference between an engine builder and a tableau builder game.
It's a subset.
Yeah. So like Wormspan, it was feels like a tableau building game because there's a lot of different cards out there. Versus Sprocket Forge, I don't know. It might be maybe a tableau.
I would not call Sprocket Forge a tableau builder.
Okay, why is that?
Well, generally when I think of tableau builder, I think of having different cards that have different abilities that somehow synergize with each other. So you're trying to, you know, pick the cards that are going to have the abilities that will be better than the sum of their parts. So
like Magic the Gathering, for example.
I mean, yeah.
I saw that listed on an engine builder game.
That's an engine builder.
And I was like, okay,
It's an engine builder.
Yeah.
You're putting mana to do other things.
You put enchantments on creatures and,
Engine builder is an incredibly broad category.
It is.
But for good reason, because engines are fun to build.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I guess maybe we should... You probably know... Well, I guess many people probably have an idea of what we mean by engine builder because, you know, the label is on lots of games. But just to be absolutely clear, we are talking about games where you are building an engine to get more and more resources. Mm-hmm. So like you get resources, you invest those resources in your engine, and then the engine produces more resources, which you invest. And so your engine keeps getting better and better and producing more and more resources. And you see those numbers go up and you feel great because you can see the progress.
And you use those resources to ultimately get points or to win in some way.
Yeah, at some point you need to start winning.
Yes.
But the real fun of the game is watching your engine get better and finding synergies and stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Deck building is almost a subset of engine building,
it is.
Too.
Yep.
Because
yeah.
It's the kind of game where you just, you gain more stuff, but it's a closed, randomized engine that's popping up with a hand of new stuff every turn.
Right.
And so one of the games I was going to propose for the series was called Arcane Academy. And what I love about that game is it's very simple. It's like if you took Studies in Sorcery, combined it actually a little bit with Sprocket Forge, and then reduced it in complexity by about, 75%. So it's like, it's a very, very simple game, but it has cards that go into your tableau that you can activate abilities with, or there may be one-time effects, etc. And then you have this grid board that you add new spell effects onto, and you can chain them together and do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, they have a lot of things going on. I don't know if I'd call it a tableau builder. It does have some of that in there, but it does have a lot more Sprocket Forge style of kind of more abstract pattern creation. And then you also do destroying of your engine as well. So I think, there's another kind of subset there that I think might be emerging as well, which I think is really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're making me think about one of the main just features that make these fun is finding combos.
Yeah.
Yes.
And any game like Magic, for example, where you're trying to figure out as many possible combos.
Yep. And then this will synergize with this, and this will happen, and then this could happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. this will get my mana up there faster. And yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, looking for those keywords that match.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. I guess one thing about all three games we picked, Wormspan and Studies in Sorcery and Spracketforge, was they're all kind of about like recipe fulfillment a little bit too. Each one has cards that, yeah.
You need certain ingredients to play the cards.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Or certain resources.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, I haven't really thought about that too much, but I think when you have multiple types of resources, suddenly it becomes a recipe game versus just a mainstream monetary resource like Dominion.
Yeah.
Where you just have gold. Gold gets you more things.
Yeah. Or like Machi Koro.
Right.
Where it's literally just.
It's just money.
It's just money.
Yeah. It's really interesting. Like having a more dynamic resource pool to me. And I didn't realize that was something I'd maybe want to look into more too with engine builders. But yeah, it's really cool seeing how many ways you can take engine builders and run with it and you still have a fun game because you have that core investment into the engine, seeing it reap what it does. And like, no matter what, it's going to work. It's going to create something. It just may not be as good as your opponent's.
Yeah.
Something that I wanted to ask you guys about is, so one of the features of engine builders is that you get better and better, and it's often snowballs into like something huge. But how do you think different games handle that? Like with snowballing, because something with these kind of games, you don't want it to snowball so much that everything's just too easy and the game goes out of control. And
I mean, you want to end the game at that point, right?
Right.
You want to let the person have one round where it's absolutely incredible and they do this amazing thing and it goes off and it's so cool.
Everyone claps.
Yeah. And then the game should be over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want two rounds of that.
Mm-hmm.
Let alone five rounds of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you want them to do the cool thing,
yep.
But only once.
But ideally, the issue might be if someone got a slow start, maybe they don't get their gigantic turn before the other player ends it. So at least a feature of these games is that, like, usually if someone ends the game, you get at least one more turn after them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think that's a good kind of natural solution too, because like with Sprocket Forge, you know, you get to that certain point threshold and then everyone has another turn. I think like instead of having it be, I mean, Studies in Sorcery has a cutoff exactly when it's over too.
I kind of like having a cutoff also. It's, you know, it's
planable.
It's planable. Yeah. You can see the end coming. It does add some urgency because you can't delude yourself into thinking, oh, the game's going to last forever and my engine will get so big. It's like, okay, no, I know how many rounds are left.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can count the actions I have.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's interesting, and because Wormspan 2 has four rounds.
Right.
And each round has a very specific ending point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's like a goal you're going for in this round. Mm-hmm. So each round felt a little different.
Yeah, that's really interesting because Wormspan had, you know, technically six actions per round.
Well, unless you're Charlie.
Unless you're Charlie or Trevor.
Yeah.
That one time. Oh, my goodness.
Turns out it's a double round where you have.
But then, you know, Studies in Sorcery had four.
Yeah.
4x4. And so, like, one was 6x4 and the other was 4x4. It's like, okay, that's really interesting that four rounds was used twice. And I think there is something nice and even about that, you know, in terms of, like, the narrative arc. You have a very solid, like, beginning, middle, end.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have a very nice, easy transition there. Maybe even five rounds might be nice, too, to have that middle perfectly. But I don't know if this is something that you need to really care about too much with an engine builder, but it is something that's nice to look at and kind of see with these games and some of their similarities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm trying to think. The closest one I have to that would engine builder would probably be Ringyo, which is the Japanese forestry one. And we do 5 rounds in that.
Okay.
Is the current, I believe. And, and yeah, that it's interesting how, you know, when you start a game, you think like, yeah, there will need to be a lot of rounds in this game.
Right.
And then as you start doing the mechanics of it, it's like, oh, actually, no, it's better if you only have like 4 or 5 rounds.
Yeah.
Because you kind of, yeah, unless your game has like a very different arc throughout, it's like, okay, cool. We get to the build up and big moments.
Yeah.
That amount of time.
I do feel like it's good to end the game just, you know, you want players to feel like, oh, if only there were one more round.
You want one more round, not one less round.
Yes. Yes. definitely, like, especially in studies in sorcery. I did feel like, oh, if there were one more round, I would do so well.
I mean, I timed my engine perfectly to end right when the game did. So I was like, if we had another round, don't know what I would do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, one thing that we did talk about is the commonality that you want players to have a sense of urgency.
Yeah.
Not just that the game is coming to an end in a predictable
but that
right now I need to do something.
Yeah, because I'll be able to get this extra benefit or this extra thing will happen or I will get hit by this extra thing.
Yes.
Unless I act now and do this thing.
Yeah, and I think all 3 games, well, let's see, Wormspan, you did have the urgency from the goals
mm-hmm.
because you want to compete for the goals each round.
Yeah.
And Studies in Sorcery, obviously, every round, every turn, you get to commit 2 ingredients. So there's a very real sense of urgency of, oh, I need to have something I can commit ingredients to.
Yeah.
And I need the ingredients to commit.
Or even like having those specific timed actions like, oh, I need to do this so I can make sure I can make the best use of it. Yeah.
Yeah, and in Sprocket Forge, you want to make sure that you've got all your ingredients at once, all your mana at the same time to complete your orders. So,
and that your exhaust section is not full when you go to complete those orders.
Yes. Yeah, and maybe that's an important ingredient. Like thinking about
good engine builders.
Yeah, like thinking about other. Can you think of other cases where engine builders instill sort of a sense of urgency all the time or a lot of the time?
Oh, for going with Magic the Gathering as a engine builder, and that's like completely urgent to make sure your creatures survive and get new creatures out and things like that.
Strangely, but Dominion does not have that.
The urgency?
I don't think Dominion has any urgency to it.
Yeah. Yeah, not really.
And I still enjoy Dominion a lot. But like Clank though. Clank I feel like has more urgency. At least at points. Because you're like trying to move through the maze and the map to get to the different areas. So like, okay, well I really need to be able to do this. So this next turn I want to make sure my next deck will have this.
Yeah.
So I can get out in time or something like that.
Yeah. Well, one thing I was thinking about is like how do engine builders feel when they're very interactive or not interactive, and feel like maybe there's a bad middle ground where it's like a very non-interactive engine builder game, and then something comes around and like Terraforming Mars, there's like one thing that you can like send a meteor, I think, to
fire and
destroy their stuff.
Oh yeah.
And
it's like there's no other interactions.
Yeah.
Like
or Imperial Settlers has faction maybe that does bad stuff to the other.
Yeah, so Imperial Settlers is an interesting one. I like Imperial Settlers, but I also think it takes way too long to play. But the combat in Imperial Settlers, I think, is really well done. Because the way it works is you have these resources, swords, that you can spend to raise things. It costs 1 sword to raise your own thing from your hand. Or
like raise as in R-A-Z-E, destroy.
Yes, R-A-Z-E, yes, raise as in destroy. So you can spend 1 sword to discard a card, an unplayed card from your hand, or you can play two swords to raise one of your opponent's buildings that they have actually built to gain the resources in the raise field. And if you destroy one of your opponent's cards, it flips over and becomes a foundation and generates a wood, which I've always felt is quite clever because, first of all, it's compensation for being attacked.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the wood, but also the foundation is sort of psychological compensation because one of the mechanics in that game is to play advanced buildings. You need to remove an existing building or a foundation. So if your building's been destroyed, well, that's a foundation. So now you no longer have to make the agonizing choice of which building to get rid of to make your advanced building. You just use the foundation. So
that's smart.
Yeah, it's not. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, it still feels kind of bad because you're losing part of your engine.
Right.
But it is a way to like keep someone in check if they're like running away with the victory, I guess. Too.
Yeah.
Like. And it poses a new challenge for that player. It's like, sometimes I feel like in engine building games, maybe you get a strategy that's so good, you just end up, well, I'm not going to do anything else. I'm just going to keep hammering this engine, keep getting the whatever resource you need. And then it's not actually as fun because it's like, oh, this is the one way I win, clearly, yeah. So I should just keep doing this thing every turn.
Yeah.
Then it's not maybe as fun as if you were presented with the challenge, a new challenge every turn.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, if you want a really interactive engine, the Great Zimbabwe, I think, that game has an incredibly interactive engine.
Oh, I get to use your things for myself.
Yeah. The cattle flowing around.
Oh, yeah.
The different god powers interacting with
different craftspeople.
Yeah. It's super interactive. Like, that game is all about what other players are doing and reacting to what they're doing.
Yeah. So we know what Ananda would do with an engine builder game because he made Sprocket Forge. But are there other engine builder games you guys are working on
So right now I do have a game that's not, it's borderline engine builder. Archmagus has a lot of things about building your weave to cast better spells and different spells and things like that, which I really enjoy, but I don't consider it an engine builder because a lot of that income is static. You don't do a lot of things to earn yourself more income, but technically you can. So it's like it's not the main part of the game. So I don't know if I'd consider it like a pure blood engine builder. But it does have some of that in there, which is really exciting and fun. But I also like deck builders a ton. I still want to do a deck builder at some point.
Yeah.
Because they're a lot of fun. And I might need to think about like incorporating some of this urgency into a game. Because I think I think there's something there.
Yeah. I think I might take that as my takeaway, having an immediate sense of urgency in an engine builder so that it's not just like, oh, I'm just going to go for the long term. Oh, yeah, you know where else that's done is in real-time strategy games. Like, super common in real-time strategy games because you need to build your economy.
Before you're attacked.
Yeah, well, it's very satisfying to build your economy. You're like, oh, I just want to sit back and build out my base. But someone's going to attack you, so you need to make military units.
Right, who don't produce anything and just cost.
Yeah, they're just a cost.
Yeah.
But there is an immediate need to have defenses.
Yeah.
And a big part of those games is how am I going to balance building my base,
right?
Which is the engine builder part of it, with defending my base, which I need to do or I'm going to get crushed.
Right.
And I think that's a great example of urgency in engine building games. That's my takeaway. You need engine building games. You should have something that players urgently need to do so that, I guess, so it conflicts with just building the engine. Maybe that's why it is, right?
Yeah.
Because if players don't have any urgency, any urgent tasks that are conflicting with their engine building, they're just going to engine build forever.
I wonder if that's why a lot of deck builders went to having the single row of cards too, is that you're competing then, like, oh, I want to get that card first, so I'm going to make sure I get it, and then someone else can't get it. But, like, it, I don't know if it still provides that, because you can't really plan for that engine.
Well, also, that's not really conflicting with the engine, right?
Right.
Well, like, I mean, okay, in Studies in Sorcery, the urgent task does help you build your engine.
Yeah.
But also,
you may make bad choices just in order to have something to keep putting stuff towards.
Right. Like, if there wasn't that urgency, you would just take the largest stack of ingredients and hope you'll find something for it later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you got a takeaway, Trevor?
A takeaway. Engine builders are so broad. And I love that about them, but it's also, it makes it really hard to pin down something that's, I don't want to say ubiquitous, but like that can apply across the board in some way. I do think that having just kind of semi-borrowing something we talked about with Sprocket Forge, having a secondary use for resources in an engine builder, like after it's used, have it go somewhere else instead of be spent and go back to the bank.
Yeah.
I think that might be my takeaway for engine builders at large, because there's something to that about then changing the dynamic of the puzzle instead of it removing it entirely, right? It's like, oh, this is spent. Oh, it's gone now. Mm-hmm. It feels very much like a similar leap to like, oh, we don't have to design games with a roll and move mechanic. Oh, wow. There's so many other things that we can do. And so it feels like that kind of realization that like, oh, that money, that resource can become something else in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And what could that become then? And then maybe has a third form or something that we don't even think about yet.
Yeah.
Evolution.
Yeah. Sorry. Thinking more. I was just thinking more about engine builders.
Yeah.
That I've been working on lately. I did recently start a co-design with Sasha. Hello, Sasha, he's a listener, so in this game you have a civilization of 9 cards, and it's sort of a probability farming type thing, which is a flavor of engine building.
Yep.
Where you roll dice and activate cards, and they produce resources between the cards. And then other cards can consume those resources.
Oh.
So, yeah, very, very simple probability farming game where resources are stored between cards and can be used by either card that neighbors them.
Uh-huh. Hmm. Sounds cool.
That does sound cool.
Yeah.
Is it using a 2D6 type thing or for the probability farming?
Yeah, it's 2D6.
Yeah. Poor Charlie.
What?
He just wants anything but 2D6.
You don't like 2D6?
No,
you've said that before.
In that episode, we just were trying to rack our brains. Like, yeah. Is there any other games that use probability farming? There probably is a 3D6
one. I was working on one for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. That's right. Yeah. What is my takeaway from engine building games?
It's so easy.
Just realizing that, oh, there are so many subsets of engine building games. I think in my head I was thinking of them more as like the like ones that we played, like Wormspan and Wingspan type games where you're building the tableau. But yeah, maybe my takeaway is having combos for players to find and discover, and like learning how to succeed at the engine is like the key to the fun.
Oh, sure.
Like, to me, the key to the fun of those games isn't like, ooh, I get resources. Maybe I'm predisposed to not liking necessarily just like, get resources, fulfill orders. It's like, no, what's the cool thing around that?
Right.
That each game has. Like, Sprocket Forge is the gears and, like, figuring out how the puzzle will work.
Yeah.
And getting better at that. So. That was a very meandering takeaway.
Yeah, I've been there.
It's kind of late, so.
So for engine builders and combos, what do you think would be a good way to approach that from a design standpoint? You want to have combos in the game. Do you specifically design this card to work with this card really well? Or do you try to make it more organic and like think of all these different things that could be done and see how they start to play together?
Well, the easy way to do it is with tags. So like you give cards a tag, you know, so like, you know, you've got, I don't know.
Fire cards.
Yeah. No. Or like you have Peter the Pigeon.
Who's a firemancer? Oh, wait.
Peter the Pyromancer Pigeon. He counts as a wizard and a pigeon.
Yep.
Or maybe a bird. Pigeon's probably too specific. And then you have a card which increases the maybe this is a combat game.
Sure.
It increases the strength of all birds. Well, I guess if it's an engine builder, probably
each bird gets one fire point. Oh, and that's a pyromancer.
Maybe strength affects combat, but also strength allows them to do more heavy labor. So now
you can put Peter the pyromancer pigeon in the work camp to earn you some soul.
What kind of game is this?
But
it's also very meandery.
Listeners out there, we want to hear what you're going to do with Peter the Pyromancer Pigeon game. That's the challenge for this month.
Send him in the salt mine. make him work for his living.
The worker placement.
It's a game about the salt trade in
the pigeon world.
In the animal kingdom.
I do want a game about pigeons now after reading this book, 10 Birds That Changed the World, and one of them is pigeons.
I believe it.
Because of all their powers of delivering messages, and like they were used for codes way longer than you'd think, because they were sometimes more reliable than like radio or something like that.
Wow. Yeah.
So anyways,
sorry.
Anyway,
I derailed that explanation a little bit, but essentially, the easy recipe is tag things with keywords, and then have abilities that reference those keywords,
like Terraforming Mars, Arc Nova.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really easy way to do it
for sure.
I think that's what Wormspan does.
They have a simple tag with age of the you know dragon, and then also
another
emotion.
They combo with other things that because of what their tags are in that game.
Sometimes I had one that said does not want to be near aggressive dragons.
Yeah,
and so
things are calling out specific things.
There's also action based triggers. So like whenever X happens, do Y.
Sure.
That's another way to set up synergies, because then this thing says whenever X happens do Y, this says whenever Y happens do Z.
That's cool.
Yeah, and then this thing says do X two times.
Whoa.
Yeah. Then the other like aspect I always bring up is emergent complexity. So like the idea there is like you're using individual, easy to understand components that interact with each other in a complex way and make for an interesting strategy. So, I'm trying to think of a good example in an engine builder context, but basically like think about all the different possible rules and interactions in your game and then draw a card. And I guess it's kind of like what you're saying about the triggers. Like when you draw a card, do this.
Mm-hmm.
Now when you draw a card, also do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anything that makes you go ooh twice is definitely a good thing.
Yeah, when you can go beyond just like, ooh, when you gain this resource, also gain this resource or something. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, oh, how can you change it based on the gameplay rules themselves?
When you gain this resource, you may instead also gain this resource. You may instead gain this resource. And it's like, so now you just want to get everything that will get you that resource because it's actually two different resources. It's like, oh.
Yeah, or,
yeah, those yeah. exciting moments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sweet.
All right. Well, I think it's getting late here. We have to go to work tomorrow and, you know, yeah. Perfect. I'm going to be going to make games at work now. It's weird. Getting used to 9-to-5 job at Asmodee.
Hey.
Yeah.
But I love it.
That's great.
It's like, yeah, pretty it's cool nice job. To be able to do that. So anyways, till next time. Thanks for listening.
Hey, thanks for listening to The Tabletop Takeaway. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. So please tell your friends and visit our website at thetabletoptakeaway.com, where you can suggest games and mechanics for us to cover next on the show.